This is a Pinball News production.
Thank you, Rob, and thank all of you for coming and listening to me. I appreciate the opportunity to talk to you all. Appreciate those of you who came by our factory yesterday. Always happy to have you there. I'd like to take a little bit of time to tell you what we're doing at Stern Pinball. Many of you are concerned that there won't be a pinball machine company in the future. A year or so ago, some of you were convinced there wouldn't be a pinball machine company in the future. We're still at it, and we intend to keep at it. Mark Twain said the reports of my death are greatly exaggerated. I've used that phrase a number of times over the years because we've been up and down in this business a number of times, and that's more or less nature of the game business or the pinball business. Pinball manufacture is difficult. It's expensive. It has a small margin, and we still intend to continue doing it. That's my job, is to keep a pinball machine business alive. The world would exist, continue to exist without pinball. We're not heart lung machines, but a little bit of the fabric of life would be gone. You all, I'm sure, agree with that. And I think there's a lot of people out there who would, and we're finding more and more as we look at the marketplace. If we quit making pinball, then you have a hobby of antiques because there won't be any more. Well, Gene Cunningham does a nice job of making some games for collector use, but I'm talking about commercial or larger quantity or what have you. Mass production. I know Herb's going to make some games or made some games, and all that's very interesting, but we're talking about a business that continues, and we have to understand that what we're running is a business. First and foremost, it's not just an art form. It's supposed to make some money, at least enough to keep it going and to keep those of us who work there employed. If we don't do this, and I've been in this since, before I was born, actually, since I was two. My father started as a game operator and then a game distributor. And in 1947... when I was a 2-year-old living in Philadelphia, he came to Chicago went to see his suppliers because he was a distributor, went to see Harry Williams and sat behind, 35-year-old punk kid sat behind Harry's desk, put his feet up and said, kidding around, why don't you sell me the company? So Harry had to go up in his airplane. He had a bonanza fly around Chicago for 3 hours, came down and sold my father half of Williams, and they were partners in work for many, many, many years, as Steve would remember. So that's why I say I've been in this for all my life, and I lie only about 2 years. So to me, it's important that we continue to do it, and certainly I've spent so many years of my life doing it. I want to see pinballs continue. I say that if we don't do it, that would be the end of commercial manufacture of pinball machines. Nobody else is ever going to get into this business. We need to keep this company going. Change it as we need to, change it again, whatever it is, because the amount of investment required, the amount of people and investment and so forth, it just doesn't warrant it. No rational business person is ever going to, at this point, start a pinball company. Sometimes some of the enthusiasts, get all excited that somebody in Australia is going to make pinball machines for the world or something. And, folks, we're it, and we are going to continue doing it. But, if somebody else were to try and really, really make an effort to make pinball machines, I can promise you, and I've said, some of you have heard me say this, and I'm not, this is not arrogance, this is realism and looking at what I have invested. One or two things will happen if anybody else ever tries to commercially make pinball machines. One, I promise you, they will lose all their money because it doesn't make sense to go into this business right now. It's not possible. There's too much involved. There's too much in a pinball machine. The other is they might, if they have any success at all, they will kill us with them. And by that I mean that if they were able to build some games And then, okay, their bank or whoever says, you got to sell those games and get out of this business. They sell them cheap. They destroy the commercial market for pinball machines. We don't sell anything for 6 months, and that's the end of the pinball business. So many of you have supported us in the past. We appreciate your support. Hope you will in the future support us. Understand that we are trying very hard to keep this business going. We've made some significant changes in it, which I'm going to talk about. And, you know, with your support and the marketplace as a whole, then we can continue it. But, you know, we can't keep doing the same thing that we have been doing. We've made some changes. We saw the marketplace deteriorating, our margin deteriorating a little bit before the Lehman Brothers bankruptcy. Couple of weeks ago was the anniversary of it, and when we saw the whole world economy start to deteriorate, and since then further deteriorate, and we, you know, that certainly has an effect of us. So, you know, we have to do something different. Again, for somebody else's wise statement, Albert Einstein said the definition of insanity is doing the same thing over and over again and expecting different results. We can't. We have to change what we're doing. Some of what we do and change you're going to like, some of it you're not going to like, but what we're doing is to find a way to survive and continue pinball machines. We looked, as I said, a year ago and knew that we had to make changes in our business. And we restructured, and we had what they call in business school a right-sizing of the business. And that does include a layoff. We had a big layoff, and some of you who are enthusiasts saw that and said, oh, that's the end of the pinball business. That's what had to be done in order to continue the company in existence. So we lost some friends. Some of them are still here. Some are in this room. Hopefully we'll be in a position to work with some of these people again one day. But first and foremost, we have to protect the business was there. And we have to continue to protect it and see how to change and to develop it. We also are downsizing the product. What we found before Lehman Brothers, we're looking at our product and the overhead, is that we became quite a novelty game, maybe not a pinball machine, but we had so many parts in the game, so many unique devices. We didn't use pinball parts, but we made all kinds of different things. George Gomez did a very nice game for us. It sells very well because it has a great title. We sell titles. And because it's a good game. And it's too expensive to make. It's called Batman. And it's got a very unique mechanical device, a crane, which really has nothing to do with Batman, but it's a unique device. It wasn't in any of the movies or anything like that. It's got the reveal mech that's okay. And it's got a teeter-totter that you race the car, which we didn't execute it very well. You can't see the car very well. So it's got these three unique mechanical devices that takes a cast of thousands of mechanical engineers to get it done a month late, so you're a month late onto the production line. Therefore, you lose money. Good game, pretty game, you know, and George did a wonderful job, and he didn't do anything wrong. He took the direction of where we were going. Well, we look at this and say, okay, can we have three unique mechanical devices? No, we can't. Let's try and have one unique toy, unique mechanical device, and use some pinball parts. Let's try and get our margin back and reduce our overhead. And we did reduce the overhead, and the games we're designing will have one unique mechanical device. And they'll have spinning discs and drop targets and spinning targets and, you know, the normal kickbacks and stuff, you know, and VUX, things that we have that are already designed and that we've made before and we can use. And that's how pinball was. We in this way, we can get our margin back and we reduce our overhead. So what we did last year, this time last year, and we are still here a year later when many people thought we wouldn't be, though it's been a difficult year, was in order to right-size our business. We looked at the market, and you know, you are an interesting part of our market. We like you all. You're important, but not important as the volume of business we're going to do. We have to look at who's really buying these games and who's playing these games in the larger capacity, larger market. And some of the stuff, might not make you as happy as some of the other stuff. Our games over the years went from being half chance, half skill, to being 90% chance, 90% skill, 10% chance. Games where somebody like me has no chance of having that great, barely any chance of having that great ball and playing lineman in my, in our place. We have an old Gottlieb game in the factory, and we were all playing it, for some time, spin a card. And there's a lot of chance in it. I mean, granted, we're not going to make slow games like that and what have you. But we learned that, that we need to let the casual player have a good time with the product, with the game. This is true of all design. I don't care if it's, Sony PlayStation or Larry's slot machines or whatever it might be. AWPs in England, whatever. Everybody in design should be trying to broaden the player base, have more players have a good time with the product, and at the same time trying not to lose the core players. And that's what everybody in design is trying to do. Typically, and I can remember a video game from your... No, I'm not going to do that story. But in any event, typically, we'd see the players get better and the games get more difficult, and then the players get better and the games get more difficult, and the players get better and the games get more difficult, and these players start staying home, and a whole new crop of players start playing, and they can't play this thing, and they don't have fun, and they do their 10 or 20 second ball, and they walk away, and they don't play it again. We have to change who we're trying to change the game as we look at who we're trying to appeal to. 40% of our games are exported. 60% are sold in the U.S. Of that 60%, the largest percentage are sold to homeowners and not to coin-op operators. The coin-op operators all over are shrinking their businesses. There are other out-of-home entertainments. Have a lot of gambling things coming on. Like in this state, we have a new gaming bill. So everyone stops buying anything, waiting to see what's going to happen and how they get in. The regs aren't out for it. Maybe today. I don't know. We have to look at who these people are. We'd like to get the players playing the games in the street and the arcades and the locations here and outside of this country. And we have to also address the homeowner. To many of the homeowners, again, not to you all, but to many, the largest percentage of the homeowners buying pinball machines, we find that they're going to play the game for 3 weeks. Then they're going to play it at halftime during the Super Bowl after the band got done playing. It's an American icon. It's a piece of furniture. It's a piece of artwork in the house. It's something some guy thinks is cool, so he buys it. He wants one. He has to tell mommy that it's for the kids, because all big ticket purchases in the home, whether it be that big TV you want or the pinball machine or the pool table or whatever else, mommy's got to approve it. She's got to have it. We have a friend who's a billiard dealer, and she says if a guy comes in, he's looking at a bar, a billiard table or something, a home theater, whatever it is, they'll talk to him for 45 minutes, an hour, whatever it is. If he comes in with his wife, they'll close him. They'll make the sale. That's the nature of it. That's why you don't see pinball arts TNA anymore. It's all pretty tame. That old TNA stuff, and I think we certainly proved with our last Playboy. The first two Playboys were very successful. Ours was extremely successful in Europe, and not as successful here because a lot of people were afraid of the theme. And that's Playboy is not exactly what I'd call that racy a theme. A lot of these people buying the games never play them. Never play them before they bought them. A lot of the people are going to buy the games for their home, on the internet, whether it be from one of the places we're selling through, like the dot-coms, which I'll talk about in a minute, or one of the eBays or this or that, and they're buying titles. Some of you say, well, why don't you do an unlicensed game? Some of our licenses haven't been the greatest, I have to say, but some of them work very well for us. Again, we do especially well with comic book movies, the Spider-Man, Batman type of thing. I've done Batman a number of times. So, you know, licensing gets us, you know, a lot of things, one of which is the home sale, and it also gets the attention of the reseller buyers, being whether they be distributors or big box stores or whatever they might be, billiard dealers, what have you. Licensing does a lot of things for us. You know, it includes, you know, we get ideas, you know, of what to put in the games. I mean, there's a ball-eating dinosaur in Jurassic Park for a reason. You know, you wouldn't have put that on some regular game. And it was a cool device. It involves us with other creative people. Simpsons people did their artwork. Seth MacFarlane did 4 hours, 2 hours of speech for Family Guy. Arnold did the speech for Terminator. Arnold's people explained that being on a pinball machine is a trophy. There's two people, so you guys probably know better than me, and I'm not a historian, but there's two people who have been on three pinball machines. That's Hefner and Arnold. Notice it's Hefner, last name, and Arnold, first name. Don't know, but that's just the nature of it. Harrison Ford actually has been on four pinball machines between the Indies and the Star Trek. So I think that's the most I know of. Maybe there's somebody else. But that's a digression here, because, you know, what we're really talking about is, should we do licensed games? And we find that, you know, some of the licenses aren't the best that we've had, because we've had to pick them when we did. But when we have a right license, it just works magic for us, and we will continue doing that. We're trying to improve the licenses that we're getting. It's not that easy, because you have to find somebody. It's not that much money, and no matter what we pay somebody, I mean, Jurassic Park, you know, can we really have a chance of paying them enough to be meaningful? It's a $1 billion franchise. So, you know, we have to find people like Arnold's people who say, oh, it's a trophy to be on pinball, or Matt Groening of Simpsons saying, thank God somebody's keeping pinball alive. We try to get, you know, all the great titles that we can. Somebody I read, you know, criticizing us why we didn't do Transformers. Love to do Transformers. Too much money. You know, didn't come down to the right amount of money. So, and it was too late now, of course. That was at the time. Any event, We have looked at the market, and we're trying to simplify the game, broaden the player base, and make something that will not only be coin-op, but we want it to be coin-op, will also be good for our home business. We'd like to do some cost down, some of which cost down is a Japanese phrase. We used to belong to Data East and then Sega. Japanese phrase for lowering costs, so you always say cost down, so that we can both keep our margin and maybe lower our price point at some time. We have a plan over the next year plus to do some things like that. We've right-sized the business. We've right-sized the product. We understand that many of our games are sold to homeowners, as distinguished from you enthusiasts. We have depended on coin-op distributors, and we find that whether it be pinball machines or video games or anything else, the coin-op distribution network in America is not doing very much. They are no longer stocking distributors, with a few exceptions, the exceptions being, well, in Canada, Starburst and a little bit of pinballsales.com and Automated, certainly in Connecticut. But to a large extent, they are buying, and that's in pinball, in other products, to a large extent, the distributors are buying out of the manufacturer's inventory. They're not stocking very much. They're buying when they need it. So we looked at the home business and said, okay, we had asked our distributors to sell to billiard dealers and that type of thing. They didn't do a particularly good job at it, or they competed at the same price that they were selling the billiard dealer. So we've added a bunch of billiard dealers. And we will add more. Their business is a little under stress, so you have to be careful with that. But we are selling pinball machines not only through CoinOp, but through billiard dealers. Some of you know that we also have started looking at mass merchants. We are on Amazon.com. We'll be on Sears.com. We want to get into some of the big box stores. We've hired somebody to join us with this. And you'll see more of our games in a broader distribution. We can't keep depending on CoinOp distributors alone. And so we have to make some changes. Change the staffing, change the nature of the product, change the distribution network. We've also made some finance changes and changing our financing. Those of you who follow this know that the community banks are pretty much frozen. We've been in the same bank, whether it be this company or another, since 1976, and they're frozen. The Obama says lend money, and the regulators who are in there talking to these banks, Rob's nodding, talking to the banks, the regulators, the guys in the trenches say, I don't care what Obama says, you can't lend any money, you've got to beef up your balance sheet. And the community, you know, some of the big banks are great. You know, Chase is having a field day. They're doing great, but they're not going to lend to us. We're too small. You know, we're under their limit of what they're looking at. So, you know, you have to do some other financing, and we have that in place in doing that. So we've done the things to restructure. Now, those of you who toured us saw that we weren't doing a whole bunch in the factory. The day of making something every day for forever is over. Not just in our business, but I mean, I'm sure GM will tell you the same thing. You know, we can't constantly make things, and we're not going to constantly make them inventory. We're going to make them as we need to, and when the season is right. So we're going to go up and down. We were just starting, you saw in the cable department, we were starting work for games. What we did is over the summer, this is a seasonal business, the summer is always slow. The European sales aren't there. The Europeans, Southern Europeans are gone for the month of August, so they don't want anything from June to September. Nobody who operates games is going to be dragging them into Six Flags, you know, on July 25th. You know, it's too late. They're going to do that in the spring. And they're not going to take them into an indoor location until the fall, which is a better buying season or selling season for games. As far as the home business, there's certainly some summer business, but there's a big seasonal, big winter, big Christmas component to the home business. So we're starting to beef that up, and we'll run this place at about 35 games a day, starting to pack the beginning of the end of October, beginning of November. And we will make what we call the Chinese menu, one from column A, two from column B, a little bit of everything. We're going to make Shrek, NBA, CSI, Batman and Spider-Man before we make the limited edition gold Lord of the Rings. And we'll start those up. We're waiting for the brass parts, what the lead time is. And so we'll start those the middle of November. Those games will, for those of you who don't know, they don't have all the little toys. Those aren't available in any quantity. Some of you have found them on eBay. It will have the toys that we make, and that is the Balrog and the Twin Towers, but it won't have all the little decorative toys. So instead, it will have a printed mirrored backglass. It will have George and I signing it. It will have the wiring and software so that if you want to, you can add a shaker motor. And, of course, it will have a certificate plaque, but also all of the brass plated parts, just like we did with Elvis Gold, that type of thing. After we make those, we will go back and make more for the Christmas market in December, the same models. And going back to the Lord, we did something different in the sales of it. We sold it, again, we can't depend on our coin-op distributors to be taking them. You know, they'll take, oh, okay, when you have them, you know, we'll order two or three, we'll order five, maybe we'll take them, maybe we won't. That's what distribution is. We sold these to a limited number of people who took quantity and will front money to guarantee their order. We sold a lot to Australia. We sold a lot to Starburst in Canada. We've sold to Automated and to pinballsales.com. So instead of our whole broad distribution network, we know the first batch of 250 of these are going out the door. We know where they're going, and it's firm business, you know, and it's good, secure business for us. Versus having 250 and saying, keep calling your distributors. You said you wanted them. You said you wanted them. That's what we have to do. That's, again, doing something different than we did before. Some of the older games we make, we charge a lot more for, because in these volumes, the costs have gone way up. When you're making 100 and 150 of a game, or 50 and then another 50, the cost on the piece part prices and all that are way up. We won't start a new game until the end of the year, and we pick that time because we need to fill our Christmas market, and because at the end of the year, we may not have very much demand here, but our Europeans, our export customers, will take games to receive in January when their sales start again. We can ship in December, and they get them in January. Now, this is what we're doing to preserve our pinball business, and if it's to continue, you all can help. And I said more or less the same stuff that I'm going to say now in Texas when I spoke there. You know, we ask you to do a number of things. We want you to understand what we're doing. Some of it isn't going to be what all the enthusiasts want, but understand, you know, we've thought this through, and some of the things may work. Many will work. Some may be, you know, like anything else, a little trial and error. But what we're doing is looking at our marketplace and, please understand why we're doing it, understand the casual player aspect, the homeowner aspect, and understand the constraints that any business, but certainly business like this, is in the current marketplace and the current economy. But pinball isn't just a home game. We need the home and the coin op. And if we're just coin op, then it will turn into just a toy, and we'll end up making just toys or move to China or something and make toys. We need to get coin op there. We need to do some stuff to the earnings. We need to make the game so casual player will enjoy it. But you all can help by playing games, not just in your basement. Get out of the basement. Go out. Go to a bar, a bowling alley, what have you, where games are, where an operator will have those games, and play the games. Tell the, you know, if they don't have a pinball machine, you tell the bar owner, we'll put seats in your stools if you have a pinball machine. Here's six guys that play in a league, or this or that, you know. We'll put seats in the stools. That bar owner will talk. If you're really going to put seats in his stools, that bar owner will talk to his operator, and he may get you a game. We see where there is participation, where the games are played, that they put in pinball machines. The game works out here. You had a tournament, the IFPA, I guess, the other day. Thank you, Roger, and all. 57 people played in it. They have pinball machines in there and in a decent location usually. And they're doing that in some other places. If you get out and play and use the games in the locations, they'll play it. If you play in your basement, then you'll play with yourselves and not out in the... you'll play with yourselves the pinball machine. You got to have balls to play pinball. And in any event, you know, and it will become narrower and narrower. You know, we know one guy who operates in movie theaters. Yeah, I'm going to run over a little. I'm sorry. Operates in movie theaters, and he put in a bunch of Spider-Man, figuring, okay, he'll sell them to the home when he takes them off site. He can't take them off site because they're making 100 a week and his video's making 40 a week. And he wants to get rid of his video before it goes in the dumpster when he can still sell it, and he wants to double up on his pinball. We need to get the coin-op side of it you know, in addition to the pinball or in addition to the home business. We really want to do that. Some of these tournaments, what IFPA does, that's great for the great player. Some of us will go up there and would never participate in the tournament. Michael O'Donnell works with me, says that, because he knows it's not for him. If we had a way to have a league for casual players, you know, if that was actually organized, if you all did that, you would help pinball. Some of you will say, well, the pinball machines are not kept up in the location. If you're putting seats in the stools, you tell that location, that bartender, that bar owner, operator's not taking care of the game. If you're putting seats in the stools, he'll talk to his operator. Sometimes the operator won't want to put a game in. We get that foam stuff that's in the corners of the boxes now instead of cardboard that scrapes up the games from Sealed Air. It's designed by Sealed Air, Kevin Dabrowski. He's, you know, a pinball enthusiast. There's a bar not far from where our factory is, and the pinball machines in there are his, not the other games. And he does very well with it, and his friends come and play and what have you, and other pinball people do, and a lot of new people have played pinball because of it, because his games are kept up. The point is, the operator may let somebody else put the pinball in because he just doesn't want to be bothered with it. You got to think about doing some of those things if you want to see pinball continue. You got to get out of the basement. Finally, when I was in Texas, speaking at the festival there, I suggested that we needed a website that you could find out where pinball machines are, that we're not going to create it. When Betson tried to do one, that wasn't particularly effective. It needs people who are interested in pinball to do it. There's got to be some computer literate people, you know, that could do this. Well, we got a call a week later from a junior high school principal who's got the website, so we linked to it. It's not perfect. It's not the easiest to do, but you can find pinball machines. Everybody always asking, where's there a pinball machine to play? You can find pinball machines. Go to our website, link to where to play, and you'll find a website, and if you go into the right part of it, you'll be able to put in a game that you want to find, or a city, or whatever it might be, and you can find where to play. You can also, and this is the next part, you can list games you know of and put them in there. And I ask you to please add to it. If we're going to have coin-op pinball out there, you all can help do it by getting out of the basement, by maybe putting the games out yourself if you have to, and by telling everybody else where there's pinball. That's what we're doing at Stern to keep pinball going. That's what we're asking you to do. Please understand what we're up to as best as you can. And if some of it's not 100% what you want to see, it's what we think we have to do to keep it going. Thanks.
Question? Can I do it?
Okay, I got a few more minutes. Here's the part, the suicidal part. Anybody got any questions? Yes, sir. Maybe I'm wrong.
Right. What percentage of the cost of development is doing the art and the programming to support a display?
It is expensive. I don't have a number for that. It's expensive because you have somebody doing it, also because you've got to buy some assets. You do a movie, they got to copy their film for you, or this or that. You know, Big Buck Hunter, it's great to work with them. You know, they're pinball guys, and they're right there, and they've got the stuff, and they set up their video to do it with you and so forth. But if you got to get a bunch of films, what is it we had to get from CSI? We owe them, we got film. Yeah, I know, but we got not just the TV the editing. They go in and edit and put it in there, and they have to separate the different layers of it, that type of thing. I don't know, but it is expensive. But I'm going to back up and throw one other thing out here, is that it's been suggested, and I don't know if this is practical or not, by some enthusiasts that there might be a market for some of these simpler, older Stern games, and we're considering that, going back to Stern Electronics days. We might, if we can pull that off. you know, it's all dollars and cents, folks. As much as we'd like to do it, it's, you know, it's will work and not. Questions? Ma'am, okay. Sir.
Comment first that I have seen in New Hampshire a precedent for an arcade that doesn't want to run the pinballs taking in a kind of an operator, like a street operator just for the pinball. So it doesn't have to be two street operators together in a street location. It can be an arcade with a street operator just
yeah.
for the pinball.
Mm-hmm.
And then the question, can you comment on the homeowner market outside the United States?
Yeah. Australia, not Europe, I'm going to do Australia first. That's a, in some of the, two of the groups that sell in Australia are here. I think that's a very active home market. I've been down there, and it's, you know, very, very active. Again, I believe by what they're doing, it's more than just enthusiasts buying. In Southern Europe, there's very little home market. In Northern Europe, there is. And there's a few people that do a pretty good job of selling to it, but not our distributors, I have to tell you. Our distributors are coin-op. I haven't figured out how to address it. And they're still trying to sell the games to the homeowner there for more than they're selling to an operator, or a lot more, or this or that. So, you know, there's an upside there. I haven't figured it out. There is a few people in the UK, but they're not buying very much, unfortunately. There is business there. There should be business there. They don't have basements. Of course, we don't have them in California either, but, you know, it's... No, there's no pinball business in Japan other than what Yoshi and Harry occasionally have gotten. It's... We do pretty well. Japan, first of all, the arcade market in Japan is not even a video market. It's metal in, metal out, and cranes. Metal in, metal out means phony gambling machines. I don't know why people play them. And cranes, they do a lot of cranes. It's just incredible. So, and pinball just has not been their market for a long time. New markets, we have a lot of difficulty, Middle East, things like that. We do okay in the Eastern Bloc because they got some history. But any really brand new market, it's a little bit harder to get them interested in pinball. Sir.
Thank you for putting gates on the Price is Right. That yes. really helps.
I'm glad you like it, and thank Ira Bettelman at C.A. Robinson. He does that. I don't know, you know, I don't know what it's all about, but he does it. You were asking a question back there. George Carlin would say must not have been very important. Never mind.
You mentioned about, like, you're going to use a lot of stand-up target sticks that can be used on design.
Yes.
And limited toys are used to just one. Budget-wise, what do you consider a ramp? Is it cheap enough to make that?
Well, we're certainly going to have ramps, but there is a, you know, there's more than just the piece part cost. There's also the tooling cost. And there is a lot of tooling for ramps around, whether it be ours or somebody else's, that might be interesting. So, you know, there's some of that. Something, we have to do some things different. And we have to look at it and say, what can we do and get good playing game the casual player can enjoy, you know, hopefully deep enough for you guys, maybe not sometimes, and, you know, get a little everything. But, you know, this problem of casual player to expert goes back to my father's days. I mean, I remember this as a kid. We've just gone pretty extreme here. Somebody back there was asking, yes.
Yeah, I'm in sales myself.
Yeah.
And finally, recently, I understand you hooked up with Ken in Texas and the Pinball Rebel to get this database going. So,
yeah.
I can actually finally do a couple of why not just go to these distributors, give them a $50 rebate, and continually update where your meetings are?
That would be operators, number one, and not distributors. We sell to distributors and then the operator. Ain't going to happen. It's just not going to happen. The game operator, any game operators in here? Okay, please plug your ears and don't listen to this. It's a pretty lazy group right now. They don't do a whole bunch, you know, with their games. That's why, you know, they're doing touch screens and not pinball. Pardon? The pinball machines, you're right, and they're much more reliable. Yep, they're much more reliable now than they used to be. But they always... And now instead, you might sell them for a profit. That's the difference.
And what? Maybe I can recoup what I originally bought it for.
Well, you know, if you take a look at the return on investment on a pinball, no, not if you include the resale value.
No, if you put a 1977 or earlier game application, that's great.
Okay. All right. Well, you know, we certainly need some design change. Once again, when we have so much physical stuff on the game, it's going to have more likelihood to break. We need to simplify the product. And both for the casual player, for you, the operator, so forth. Correct, and once again, part of that is the expert player can play. When the game is 90% skill and 10% chance, then that expert player gets on that game and 5 minutes is a short game for him. Yeah, I agree with you. Correct. Spinning discs throws the ball around or something. Yep.
Less stopping go.
Agree. I agree with what you're saying, and I question the animation, the dot matrix to start with, because the casual player never sees it anyways. You know, this is a big debate that we have among us, and we are reducing it, and somebody asked, do you need a dot matrix? Well, you need something there more than an old alphanumeric, but maybe it's not a dot matrix. I think, I agree with you, and we're trying to go that way. You and I are on the same page. I just got to get there.
If the game needs an instruction card, it's too complicated already.
Nobody reads it anyhow. So, you know, and that, see, that's where we're going to try and move. I'm on the same page you're at. You know, absolutely. I agree with him. And thank you.
Thank you.
I don't care. Go ahead. Not a whole bunch, because there's not very much money to do anything with. We get a lot of press by accident. You know, you see us on TV, this or that. I like to be on TV. We get a lot of that stuff. If we're with, use Costco for a minute, which we're probably, I don't know if we're going to do more with them or not, but they can do a email blast to 27 million potential customers. And we, you know, you get them to do things like that. So there's things you can do with the various retailers, which will filter down to people finding games other places. Steve?
I'd just like to tell you and congratulate you and your company, and we sincerely hope and pray that you could stay with it, because you are people only pinball-making company in the entire world. You are to be congratulated for trying as hard as you can.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Okay, one more I got over there.
I love Shrek. I think it's great how you do family guy. It's still pretty much an existing title. Continue to do that. Don't let Jackpot scare you off on that.
It's a little bit. Let me give you quickly the Shrek story. Pretty hard to pull off. You know, we do licensed stuff, and I think licensed, as I said, you know, a lot of these buyers are never going to play the game. They're going to buy Batman because of the title. Good game, but that, you know, they don't know they got a good game. We made Family Guy, and I got on my soapbox. I was so mad at game operators because that game belongs in every college bar. I mean, I got a 22-year-old daughter. It's the only TV show I watch with her. And the game operators and distributors, with the exception of this gentleman here, to the largest extent, we got a bunch of 55-year-old businessmen in the equipment and not the entertainment business. They didn't know what Family Guy was. They didn't get the joke. Jack Guarneri and I were riding in a car, and Jack said, "That's a great game. You got, you know, you should put another title." How do I go to a movie company and say, "Hey, I want to use your title, but I'm not going to give you a new platform. I'm going to give you an old platform." And then I remembered, we're the only people who ever licensed with Disney. We're the only people, and that was with Roger's help. We're the only people who were in DreamWorks. DreamWorks wanted to do Shrek. I said, "I can't do that. I can't put that in bars. I want to do a redemption game." They don't like redemption. Again, he knows this one too. Then I said, "Well, wait a minute. I'll give you a pinball machine. I can't give you a new platform because I can't put it in bars." Well, that's how it happened. Now, how often can we pull that off? Don't know. But reuse of some things, you know, old Gottlieb used to make the same game every second year and just change the name. Effectively. So there's nothing wrong with that, but we need to do a little bit more than that right now. We're not adverse to that. We're not adverse to reusing a ramp or again, a spinning disc is a spinning disc is a spinning disc. You know, maybe a different rubber on it and run it with different speed, different motor. Okay? Thank you all very much. Appreciate it. Appreciate your consideration for us in the future. Thank you.